¡Órale!
¡Sí, señor!
Oh, bienvenidos and welcome to the Familia FFP Podcast. We are in vivo. Estamos en vivo, primos. ¿Cómo estamos, boys?
Yeah, baby. Good. Ready. My voice is a little hoarse. If you can notice, my voice is a little hoarse. I had my birthday party on Saturday, and you know that got a little bit loud. So I lost my voice Sunday morning. I had like hardly any voice. And then Monday, we went to the Dodger game at Petco in San Diego. Did some more yelling there. So I'm just kind of barely kind of recovering my voice. So hope I'm coming through okay.
You lost your voice at the Dodger game? I heard there's a lot of losing going on there. So hey.
Now you start on this. Ah, primo. Okay, I see how now it's convenient. Now that you're up north and Los Gigantes are in first place, you know that's
temporarily.
Where were you the last 5 years?
You were first. You're last. That's right.
Ay Dios mío. Ay Dios mío. Well, hey everybody. It's a packed house. Primo Ricky couldn't make it, but Nico, you're back at it. ¿Cómo estamos, primo? came in off the IL off the one-eye injured list.
Well, to tell you the truth, and not, you know, to kind of catch up our things, I was supposed to go into surgery yesterday, and the doctor said, "Oh, you know what? I kind of misdiagnosed from the Zoom call. I thought it was this, but it wasn't that." So it ended up being nothing big. I mean, it was going to be a simple surgery to remove a fatty cyst. He goes, that's not quite what we thought. So you're good. You know, and I'm like, oh, you couldn't have looked at me 3 hours ago while I was sitting here. But
anyway. Are you losing sleep? Worried about your surgery?
Yeah, so, and I think my mom thinks it's prayer with the rosary. You know, mijo, I pray that you don't have to go to the surgery. So, you know, here we are, you know.
Veladoras, once again, veladoras come through, man.
The veladora works.
The veladora works. I'm not a big fan of telemedicine, just so you guys know. So.
I'm with you. Well, everybody, you could find us on Twitter and Instagram at Familia FFB, and you can find me at Jorge Martin 17. Heck, where are they finding you?
At what the heck, right there. It says right here, right?
Right there. And Nicolas Vegas. And we got Nicolas Vegas in the house. So, and don't forget to find our original content at familiaffb.com. So, Hector, you touched on it a little bit. It was so cool to be able to celebrate your day. El Día de Tu Santo.
Yeah, man.
Familia get together for the first time.
It was like a coming out. You know what I mean? Like it was like a breakout party. Like it started out the mañanitas in the morning. You know, my mom like called me up. I'm like hello, and it's like mañanitas on the record player. Like first thing, like you know what I mean? Just like after every freaking birthday it's like the same. So it's really really cool. But yeah, like you said, it was the first big party we were able to have after, you know, the pandemic. So it was like kind of nice to really get back at it and party like we had back in the days, you know, way back then before the pandemic. It was pretty cool.
And it was cool the way everybody just kind of fell back into the whole thing. Nico, sorry exactly. You couldn't make it, but it was kind of a far drive, but it would have been worth
like
it.
Like riding a bike, man.
I missed the Dodger game in San Diego. I missed 4th of July. I missed all this stuff. So I just kind of bugged out. But, hey, heck, did you blow out the candles? I hear that's going to be a thing of the past.
No, I use it. I still got to – you fan it with, like, a paper plate and just fan the candles. So, you know, you still don't want to blow candles out. Not quite yet, man.
First of all, and then now you're going to have no blowing out candles. It's, you know.
No more,
come on, candles, that's crazy.
Be changing, you know, customs up a little bit.
Well, hey, you know, it was really cool, and I got to tell you, it just felt like everything was normal again, and it was just right. So good. Just great to see all the familia, and man, it was such a good time for me. It was a great time because my daughters were there, and I had my oldest daughter was able to be our designated driver. So muchas gracias, Solanita. And that was
buddy. That's the way.
That was a lot of fun, and Primo Manny was making sure to take bartending. Care of all of us on the bartending.
Yes,
so
sir.
It was good times. It was good times.
Good times.
Oh my goodness.
It was fun.
It felt normal and just
right.
Just
that was it.
So
it felt
good.
Normal again. Yeah.
So it's good.
Like the old days, child labor, everything was great, you know.
Hey, you know what? Hey, what is it about Mexican families? You know what? If you need another hand on the farm, you just have another kid. You know, you got to love that.
There you go. There you go, man. There you go.
Oh, man. Well, you know, one more time, primos, cheers. Cheers to familia being back together again and being like old times. Salud, salud, salud. So let's get into some chisme.
Chisme!
So, hey, you know what? First off, just a really cool thing was Carl Nassib from the Raiders this week. He came out as gay and it was just, you know what? I love that there was so much positive energy toward him. People were coming out. Even the Raider owner was coming out, Mark Davis, and just saying, you know, nothing but positivity, sending, you know, it's a courageous thing to be first in a sport. Jason Collins did it in the NBA. Obviously, we know from the baseball side, Jackie Robinson, what he had to do. It's obviously different breaking the color barrier than this. But you know what? Hopefully the positivity keeps coming. He's living his truth. And actually, I hope he has a big year and I don't know if, any Hard Knocks watchers out there, but he was kind of like one of the stars of Hard Knocks. I think it was two or three. It was Baker Mayfield's rookie year. So I think it was 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. And he was the guy who was the financial planner. Had the great advice there. So again, hopefully he has a great year, makes a lot of money. And hey, you know what? Makes it easier for the next people to come through. So, Carl,
that's good for
salud.
Him.
Yep. Salud. So we got another one. I don't know if you guys got to see the agility drills that Saquon Barkley was doing.
And I haven't seen it just yet.
Ay, Dios mío. He looked like he had not had surgery 6 months ago. Or what was
like Adrian Peterson style? Like Adrian Peterson like style? Adrian just coming Peterson back style. Like it never happened?
And you want to know something, our buen amigo Edwin Porras, I know we always call him out here, but we call him out because he's that good. And he was pointing out that by the time opening day comes at the beginning, you know, in September, it will have been 10 months and change since his surgery. That will be two months more time, more recovery time than what Adrian Peterson had. And Adrian Peterson was 3 years older than Saquon Barkley. So, you know, obviously it's not saying that he's going to come in and the offensive line still has a block for him. Daniel Jones still has to have a decent enough year to make sure to get the ball to him. But Primos, you know, I advise you to look at that hype video because it was on, baby. It was on. He was.
Oh, that's great. I'm happy. Great. I can't wait to see him. And what's his, do you happen to have his ADP? I know we talked about, you know,
I do have it right injury, here. Like, as a matter of fact, he is going off as number 5 pick.
Okay.
Number 5 overall. So it's going according to Fantasy Football Calculator, it goes CMC, Dalvin Cook, Alvin Kamara, Derrick Henry, and Saquon Barkley. So right ahead of Zeke and Nick Chubb and Jonathan Taylor. So vamos a ver. You know, I'm still a little worried about that offensive line, and I'm hopeful that Danny Dimes comes through. But seriously, I'm going to have a top 4 pick. If I get that number 4 pick in our familia draft, he might be the guy that I take at that point. So Saquon, if he hasn't already, he might be.
I wrote that last year, man. I picked him number 3, and we all know how that worked out. But we all know how that worked out. The trophy somewhere here. I should have in the background. That's
okay. You got to work. Well, no, thanks.
Man. We're on, man.
Yeah, you know,
be a decoration right there.
We let you win. We let you have Josh Allen and Stefon Diggs in the 5th and 6th.
Exactly.
Round. That's what happened. We gave that to you, Primo. You know, this year you got to be at the draft so that we're not picking your guys for you. No, I'm just kidding.
That's right. Otherwise, we're just in an auto draft. Auto draft if you're out there. That's it.
So.
Another kicker. That's 4 kickers in a row. What's happening?
So we got another
bit. That's weird, right?
another bit of cheese, man. Vic Taffer of The Athletic has said that he came out talking about the fact that Darren Waller reported that Darren Waller is going to top the 1,196 yards that he had last year as he continues to get better. You know, pointing out that Henry Ruggs, you guys have been here talking about me having, you know, Henry Ruggs being like that, you know, that double digit round flyer to grab. He is stretching the field, which is going to leave the middle wide open for Darren Waller. Nico, you know, you love to talk about Kittle down the middle. Waller, the baller, I right underneath, he's going to it's going to be on. So, you know, does he end up having a season that gets close to Travis Kelce? I mean, he's got to score about 10 touchdowns to do that. But I'm fired up about this guy. This is one of the guys that I'm targeting in any tight end leagues, any leagues with tight ends. Because the fact that just with him being that good, you know, that good, and it's a big jump from him and Kittle to TJ Hawkinson and Kyle Pitts and those right. other, and Mark Andrews. So, so we'll see. I don't know who like Nico, you're, you know, the Raiders left you up there, but, Darren Waller, ¿qué dices?
You're, I think the problem is with him, and he was, if you did draft teams were paying any attention to him, he was hit or miss. He could have 100 yards easier. He could have like two catches. And the problem was the quarterback. You need to have it. I mean, if you put Aaron Rodgers over there in the Raiders, this guy would kill it because he would love it. Or, you know, or Brady, or somebody loves to use their tight ends, that, you know, that would be perfect. It's just so inconsistent over there. I don't know what he'll do. And again, he dropped a lot of passes. You know, when a couple games and stuff, but I think his hands are, you know, he's got more stick on there, so he's ready to go and catch all these balls. But
yeah, good thing he's not a pitcher. Good thing he's not a pitcher, man. They'll be checking him
exactly. for that. But no, I think he'll do 1,000 yards easy. So
I think he's going to get 1,000 yards. I mean, the thing that Carr loves throwing to him. And he's such a big target. He finished so strong last year. There was a point, it was probably about week 11 or 12, where Kelce was averaging 6 points a game, fantasy points per game, more than Waller, who was the tight end two at that point. And then Waller had a big finish. He had that big 200-yard game. I think it was on Thursday Night Football against somebody. I think it was against Denver or the Chargers, one of the two of them. But he had just a monster game. And I think that kind of helped close the gap a little bit. But not as consistent as Kelce, but I think he's – I still have Kittle ranked ahead of him, but – the gap is closing for me when it comes to ranking. I may want to, you know, if I'm leaving the second round and I've got a league with a tight end, a 14 team league, I want to leave the second round with either Kelce, Kittle, or Waller, because I don't think they're coming back to me in the third round.
What do defenses do? Do defenses key in on Waller? I mean, because obviously, I think, you know, last year defenses were still keen on Ruggs, like, oh, Ruggs is going to be a threat. But I think as you know, now that the season has ended, it's pretty clear that, you know, Ruggs just couldn't, he just hasn't done it. He just hasn't been that guy. So now that it's pretty clear that Waller is the guy over there in Raider land, I mean, our defense is going to start keying on him and putting their number one DB on Waller, maybe to try to shut him down. And does that have any impact?
They're probably going to do a multiple, you know, they're probably going to have multiple guys on him. I don't think they'll have a top DB, because you got to make sure if Ruggs and Bryan Edwards are for real. Mm-hmm. And you know what do I talk about with year two with guys,
the jump
so
off.
When, yeah, so, and Ruggs is getting a lot of, you know, our buen amigo Vinny Bonsignore said, you know, it's kind of like a put up or shut up year for Ruggs, and to a lesser extent, Bryan Edwards. But right. I'm looking at the fact that if they open up the middle of the field for Darren Waller and to a lesser extent Kenyon Drake, and also you got Josh Jacobs and Drake with the running game, it's a diverse enough offense. And Derek Carr is a good quarterback who still likes to, you know, who favors Waller. Waller's going to be the number one guy, so they might double team him. But I don't think. But it's going to be tough. And that, if they double team him, that's going to leave one of those wideouts. And don't forget John Brown's there too. And he was good when he was on the field with the Bills last year. So it's going to be.
Waller's getting double teamed. He was still catching it. I mean, Waller's just Waller, right?
Baller.
The collar is to Waller. I got more. I keep going.
Yeah. Oh, you're like, well, Dr. he's Seuss six now, six, man. Like,
he's like 6'6".
Green eggs and ham. Touchdown, yeah. Waller. Yeah,
man. Yeah, the only guys who are as big as Darren Waller are like, you know, defensive linemen, you know, defensive ends who are rushing the passer. And so they're not going to be they're not going to be sticking him. And, you know, you put a 6 foot guy on, you put a 6 foot safety on Waller. It's still a huge mismatch. So, you know, that's going to be fun. That's going to be fun. And the Raiders DBs are not going to be that good. So they're going to have to throw a lot to keep up. So keeping things going a little bit, Gerald Everett is getting some love from head coach Pete Carroll. You know, he's saying he's going to be a real threat in the throwing game this season. And, you know, there's reasons to think that. Shane Waldron, the offensive coordinator, was with the Rams last year. So he's the new OC with the Seattle Seahawks. Just the thing that, you know, say, I don't know if I'm buying it with what Pete Carroll is saying. Pete Carroll, he's a good hype machine. He's a good hype man. He'd be a great PR guy. Are we really looking at Gerald Everett to be much of a threat with
Metcalf?
Where you got Metcalf there and you got Tyler Lockett there. You know, say,
I mean, Metcalf is already practically a tight end. You know, he's kind of like a Kyle Pitts-ish kind of build. I mean, the guy's he's just a beast, but he's faster and he can leap out the building. And so, you know what I mean? I mean, as far as Russell Wilson's progressions go, I mean, I'm sure Gerald Everett will be obviously third. You know, I can't imagine, you know, Russell Wilson not looking at either DK or Tyler first and second, you know, as he's running his offense. So, like you said, Pete Carroll is – he's a hype man, you know. He's a believable too. You hear him, and you're like, yeah, you know what, Pete Carroll. You know, like he comes off as honest and genuine, but you know, he's also like strategic. You know, as all head coaches are when they put out statements like this, as we've talked about before. So,
oh yeah,
I mean, you know, tight end Gerald Everett, you know, wide receiver DK Metcalf. I mean, how big of a difference really is there as far as size goes, and you know, the size of a target? And has Russell Wilson actually been, you know, tight end dependent throughout his career? I mean, I can't really remember him, you know, Percy Harvin, Doug Baldwin. I mean, he's relied on the receiver core. I mean, Jimmy Graham was there in Seattle recently, and I don't really remember anything big happening with Jimmy Graham and production, right? So I don't think Russell Wilson's a tight end throwing quarterback. So I don't, you know, whatever, Pete Carroll, that's cool that he said it. I'm not buying it.
You know, the thing with him is and as we see our friends at the Sports Me app, gracias mis amigos, salud, they just said DK all day. I think he's, you know, he's looking at, he's coming in. I think Gerald Everett would be lucky to get like 4 or 5 targets a game. Maybe just to, you know, kind of underneath if for some reason DK's
right, covered, right. He slips and falls.
I don't know. You know? let's get into our last bit of cheesemate. Adam Johns of The Athletic, shout out to The Athletic. He said that the Bears expect David Montgomery to surpass his 2020 rushing numbers. He went 1,070 yards. Rushing yards in the season. He was also really, you know, he was elite caballo on that one. And, you know, and he had 54 receptions on the season. Nico, I don't have to tell you what he did, because he helped win you that championship, Primo.
Yeah, he did.
He was a late bloomer, like all my guys. I mean, I was thinking about dropping and trading him or something, but he was terrible from about week 4 through 10. And then I was like, you know, what's going to happen? And sure enough, he woke up. And he was
se le metieron un chile. Eso es lo que pasó.
For sure.
he got enchilado. And the interesting thing is, you know, and just listening to, you know, other people in the fantasy industry already, and podcasters and articles and everything like that, people are really starting to downplay David Montgomery a little bit. And, you know, the thing is, he did it. And it's partly because they got Tariq Cohen coming back from ACL surgery, and he's very big in the passing game. And there was also Damian Williams. But to me, the thing is, I'm not ready to give up on him. He's going number 37. I don't know if I want to pass him up. I think he's I think he's a guy who could be help teams late in the draft. So at that point, if you want to go zero running back or, you know, kind of like get a receiver too early, I'm going to take my chance on him because I want to be a little contrarian. I still think he's going to get a lot of carries. Maybe he's not going to get that many targets, but I think a guy is getting 250 carries in a season, and he ran with such aggressiveness last year. I'm not fading him, and right, I'm just not fading him. So let's get into who we are fading. And dun, so, dun, dun. Primos, I put together a little list of six guys. And, you know, we've got excitement building for the coming season. You know, fantasy football fans are starting to perk up. They're starting to pay attention a little bit more. Our views are starting to come up a little bit more. The hype is getting real. And you know what that means? That means some guys are going to get overrated.
Overrated.
So it's, you know, there's some guys who are going to be overhyped, already being overhyped. And nobody's played a game in 6 months. So eso es increíble. So I'm looking at I look at the fact that, you know, there's so many good guys out there, and and there's so many guys that are just being expensive, honestly, that I don't know if I love where they're being drafted. Not guys that I think are going to suck, but I just think that where they're going off on ADP, again, it's fantasy football calculator that we're using. Right. So we just don't love where, you know, we don't hate the player. Actually Ricky sometimes hates the player. So, and he makes
Ricky very often hates the player.
Yeah. Hate the game, not the player. Come on.
Yeah, exactly. So, Primo Ricky, salud. So I'm looking at this, you know, we looked at this. I initially had Cam Akers on there, but I put a Rams shirt on, so I changed it out.
You can't have that. And I don't think he's overrated either. Cam Akers, man. I think that's
you know, that's, that was the thing. I started off thinking he's not going to be, you know, he was going too high because the hype is real with him. He's probably one of the highest, but, you know, I keep looking at the fact that how many targets that DeAndre Swift had last year. And I just think, and Sean McVay likes to have a lead caballo. So I think Daryl Henderson is still going to get some carries, but I'm not ready to say that Cam Akers is going to be going too late. I would love to have him be a guy I get, you know, where I go receiver or get like a good running back at the end of the first round, and I come back with Cam Akers early in the second round. I'd love that. Right now he's going about early in the second round, but I'm worried that his hype is going to take him into the first round of 12 team leagues. So I will say this right now, when we have our Familia draft at Primo Manny and Prima Rosie's house, that he's going to go at the end of the first round. So I wouldn't, we got enough Ram fans that it's going to happen, but there's one guy. Our leadoff hitter in this one is el número uno is Miles Sanders. He's going number 31 right now. Number six pick. You know, there's a lot of red flags with him for me. You know, he missed time with a hammy last year. So I want to make sure, I'm going to keep an eye on his health in training.
Always,
camp,
the hammy's always dicey, man. You always got to keep an eye on that.
I want to make sure that he's okay. It's a new coaching staff and it's a running quarterback with Jalen Hurts, who we're going to talk about in a minute. So it sometimes means fewer opportunities. And, you know, you also got guys like Kerryon Johnson, Jordan Howard, and Kenneth Gainwell, who are also in the running back room. You know, anybody worried? Anybody, Hector, you worried? Do you like them? Do you not like them? Estoy loco. What do you think?
You're crazy.
Dígame.
I'm a fan of how Jalen Hurts that going to be a little bit of it's going to be some regression there. I think with Miles Sanders, I think Jalen Hurts is going to show out a little bit. He's going to want to, you know, put his stamp you know, as you know, the Eagles quarterback and want to show what he can do, and you know, how, you know, you had Josh Allen and you had Lamar Jackson, these guys showing what they can do as far as their legs go. I think Jalen Hurts this year is going to want to show off a little bit, you know, what he can do, because I think all running quarterbacks want to do that. They want to score, you know, rushing touchdowns a game. You know, they want to show that they're versatile, that they have, that they're, you know, multi-talented and, you know, multi-tool players. So I think that may have some impact on Miles Sanders this year.
Primo Nico, you had Sanders two years ago, right?
No, I had him last year.
Oh, that's right. You had him last year. He almost torpedoed you early.
Yeah, early, and then he kind of came on after week 11. You know, it's one of those things. The only reason I got in is because my sleepers, you know, I wrote them, you know, letters and said, you know, if you could pretty please run and score points, I'd really, really appreciate it. And so that must have worked, you know. You know, sugar instead of vinegar. Is that the term, you know?
Something like that.
If you say pretty please, if you say pretty please enough times.
Yeah,
I mean,
the
thing with him is he had 236 rushing yards in the three games with Jalen Hurts behind the court as the quarterback. Now, 82 of those yards were on one run against the Saints. So, you know, it was the 82-yard touchdown run. I think that vaulted you into the semifinals, Nico. But I mean, so it, you know, you take away that 82 yards, that's 150 yards over three games. So that's like 50 yards a game, and that's not 1,000 yards. That's not 1,000 yards. So here's some guys that are you taking Miles Sanders ahead of Josh Jacobs, Allen Robinson, Terry McLaurin, Najee Harris, whom I love.
Yeah.
Montgomery's going later. Chris Carson. I mean, what do you think? Are you genuinely going to take him ahead of some of those names?
Maybe.
Nicole, what do you think?
No, man.
The problem with this is, and it's not that he was a great running back, but I think it happened with like Adrian Peterson. Because when I grew up, the running back was there and he was a workhorse and he never had a bad season. Maybe a little bit less. Maybe they just took care of him and put him in until he got his runs. But you never saw somebody who was a Hall of Famer all of a sudden, you know, barely make the squad. That just didn't happen. Now it happens all the time. You know, so you don't know who's going to happen. Then it's running back by committee, and very rarely do you hang on one guy. So I think these guys run with less confidence because they don't really hit the hole like they used to. And some of these guys, it's like, how is he not getting 100 yards? You know,
and that's what worries me about this one, that he's going to go into a committee. That Kerryon Johnson, Jordan Howard, Kenneth Gainwell are going to be just annoying enough where I'm going to want an Allen Robinson or Terry McLaurin there. I like Najee Harris better than Miles Sanders.
I was going to say the same thing. I like Najee. I would take Najee Harris there before I would take Miles Sanders. Yeah, he's going to be, you know, in a Pittsburgh offense. You know, I can't wait to see Najee Harris do his thing. And, you know, like I said, there's questions with Jalen Hurts and how that offense is going to run. Pittsburgh, you know what they do. You know, we've been watching it for years. You know that Najee Harris is going to eat. So yeah, in that scenario, I would put Najee Harris above Miles Sanders.
And you know, the other thing that, you know, he looked great at the end of 2019 catching the ball. He ran some great routes. And, you know, he lined up as a receiver and made some great catches. Last year, he took a step backward in the receiving game. Maybe the hamstring. He had a 53% catch rate. I mean, that's ridiculous. When you're getting those short catches, you got to be getting those. I'm sorry. You can't blame this all on Carson Wentz and
Jalen Hurts. 53% you're catching half the balls that are thrown to you. And like you said, they're not throwing them bombs. They're not throwing them, you know, back shoulder stuff. These are like dink and dunk. And if you're catching 53%.
Dump offs. No. Mm-mm. All right. Well, another guy that we're looking at, Melvin Gordon. He's going number 55 pick, number 5th round, and 6th pick, 5.06.
Wow.
there's some, you know, he had a decent season. In 15 games, he had 986 yards and 9 touchdowns. Not much of a threat in the passing game, only 158 receiving yards and touchdown. There's some red flags here, Primos. Age 27.
Namely the offense.
The offense, the quarterback.
Overall.
Who's the quarterback? Can I say the quarterback?
Drew Lock. Drew Lock, right?
Is it going to be Drew Lock?
Who is it again?
Is it going to be Teddy B? Your boy Teddy B, Primo Heck?
Yeah. But
there's some red flags in that. And actually, this is kind of a preview for our La Llorona show, the guys that we're really scared of. But, you know, he did get 10 touchdowns last year. But, you know, again, he's on the older side, 27. You know, the running backs, they tend to hit their peak 24, 25 years old. You know, 21 to 25, they're at their best. Mm-hmm. And it's the last year of his contract. And then the other thing, Ryan O'Halloran from the Denver Post, you know, he pointed out that Gordon was absent from minicamp. So that is
never good.
And add to it the fact that he got popped for a DUI.
He was arrested. Yeah, January.
Yeah. So, and then they drafted Javonte Williams in the second round. So,
and they traded up to get him, which is
see,
which kind of shows their hand a little bit. Like, you know what, we may want to start, you know, moving a little bit towards a different direction, a little bit.
Going with the young guy, Javonte Williams was one of the most hyped running backs during the draft season. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're going running back heavy early, you look at Melvin Gordon at that point. I'm a little worried about what I'm gonna grab with him. Am I gonna take a shot with him? And and there are guys, you know, with Javonte Williams there. Nico, how about you? Do you like him? Are you avoiding him?
I like him, man. I mean,
Big man.
When he was in LA, I liked
Call me crazy.
No, when he was in LA, you saw what he could do, so it's there.
Yeah, and, it is there.
And I just think that I think if he has a shot, I didn't see any confidence. He just kind of trying to hit the hole, he wouldn't go through it. But I think if they have a couple games to get in a rhythm, because now they kind of come together. But I think it'll be good. You know, Lindsay, more of a catch and run, you know, if you wanted to kind of do.
Well, don't forget, Lindsay's in Texas, in Houston now.
That's right. So who's his competition now? I mean, who?
Javonte Williams. Javonte Williams.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
The rookie. You know, there is that. Mm-hmm.
He was the third running back picked in the draft. So, yeah. I mean, there, you don't draft a guy to, you know, that's one of the things that Ryan O'Halloran pointed out. You don't draft a guy that high without the intent to use him. So, the way I look at this, it reminds me a little bit of Nick Chubb's rookie year, where Carlos Hyde was the starting running back early in the season. Mm-hmm. And then probably about week 7 or 8, they traded Carlos Hyde and gave the job to Nick Chubb, and he became a stud the rest of the way.
Game over.
That could happen, or they might just choose. You know what? I could see him being this year's Leonard Fournette. Really could see him being the guy that gets dropped at the end of draft, at the end of training camp. I really could see that happening.
I don't know about that.
And where does he end up?
You know, it could be Atlanta.
Yeah.
You never know. It could be Atlanta. Are they gonna go the whole season with Mike Davis? There's possibilities. I mean, we'll look at that. But I'm just saying he could be a guy that gets dropped at the end of right around Labor Day, and then somebody else picks him. You know, and then Javonte Williams becomes at the worst the second round pick. Because here are the guys, and are you taking him again ahead of Kenny Golladay, ahead of Deontay Johnson, ahead of Tyler Lockett?
No way.
All those guys, their ADP is later. TJ Hawkinson and Kyle Pitts are later in their ADP.
Starting running back, you know, for a team, it's like more guaranteed than, you know, Lockett's going to have a great game. Like, what? 3 passes? What happened? You know, you're going to get you know, 9 points maybe.
I like Deontay before I'm taking Melvin Gordon.
Yeah.
And probably Galladay as well.
I like those guys. I agree with you, Nico, on Tyler Lockett, because he was not he had a lot of games where he was just not startable. But you had to start him because he would have those two games where he had three touchdowns, mm-hmm. 200 yards, and but you know, at that point I'm thinking I want my running back early, and I don't want to rely on Melvin Gordon. I want to be grabbing these receivers instead of Melvin Gordon. I'm going to take my chances because I really think Javonte Williams is going to take over the job.
I agree.
Okay. So we have friends in Tampa. I hope they don't hate me because we got some guys on this list and TB12. I put TB12 on here. And everybody don't hate. He's going in seventh round. He's going at 703 and number 77 pick. He was the QB9 last year. And we know he just says no to the Super Bowl hangover. And no, he doesn't worry about that. The Super Bowl hangover, he's been in Super Bowls back to back. It doesn't faze him. He had 40 touchdowns last year, second highest total after his 50 TD season in 2007. Three other times he had 36 to 39 touchdowns. So hey, he's tough. To me, the thing is, he finished so well, and there's so much talk that he did well in the Bruce Arians offense. So there's a lot to like here. I just worry about drafting a quarterback that high. And he is, he's right now he's going off as the quarterback. I'm looking at ADP. He's going off as the QB9 right now.
Yeah.
And so, you look at that. I mean, he finished last year as the QB9. He's going as the QB9 now.
You taking him before Tannehill? You taking him before Matt Ryan? You taking him before Joe Burrow?
Yeah.
Are you taking him before Jalen Hurts? Jalen Hurts is QB10. Are you taking him before Jalen Hurts, knowing that Jalen Hurts is going to give you some passing numbers? He's also going to give you some rushing numbers. Whereas Tom Brady's rushing numbers is like negative per game, when he takes the kneel down at the end of the game, he rushed for like -4 yards a game.
What was it in the Super Bowl? His over under for yards rushing was like 1.5 yards. So
yeah, it's crazy. And like I said, he takes the kneel down at the end, and it's each kneel down is like -3 yards. So
yep. You did lose that one. So
if you've played enough fantasy football, it's either happened to you or you've known someone that's lost like by a point, whatever, because the QB takes that loss, taking a knee, like negative yardage, and that's the worst. But for sure. But to that point, there's some quarterbacks out there that are on the board that are going to put up some good rushing numbers, and score. I think in that way, score more than Tom Brady.
Well, there's going to be in the current ADP right now, 8 of the 10 quarterbacks that are in the top 10 have that Konami code. They have that rushing upside. Mm-hmm. Brady and Aaron Rodgers do not have that rushing upside. So, I told myself that I would grab a running quarterback as much as I can. The quarterbacks the first quarterback I want to take that doesn't have rushing upside is Matthew Stafford, who's going in the eighth round right now. But again, do you grab in the seventh round, do you grab another running back or another receiver and then maybe wait and you grab someone like Stafford, Joe Burrow, or Matt Ryan or Ryan Tannehill in the next couple rounds?
I get Josh Allen on the first round, my first pick.
Josh Allen's going to be gone by this point. But
I have my eye on Tannehill. Julio Jones is in the house, with A.J. Brown there. I have my eye on Tannehill. I like Matt Ryan still.
Ryan Tannehill has that sneaky rushing upside, 7 TDs last year.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. So I think, if we were doing a underrated show, Tannehill, he's going at round 9 where Brady's going 7. I don't know, man. I don't know if that would last that long.
Don't preview next week. Don't preview next week's show.
That's my pick. That's my pick.
I'm telling you right now, for show, the first week, first number two, 1, 2, and 3 weeks, we're going to have surprise numbers on quarterbacks. You're not even mentioning right now, and it's going to be somebody with 350, you know, passing. I was like, what happened there? You know, so.
Oh yeah.
I think it's going to be. Because, you know, and again, if you remember, I mean, Tom Brady, remember when the Tampa Bay, I mean, they were terrible. I would have loved to lay some money down on them to win the Super Bowl. And Tom Brady's calling on, you know, was it fourth down? He thought it was third down. You know, it's kind of like, it seemed like he didn't even care. But.
Exactly. He did that on purpose, man. That was all on purpose, man. So everyone would talk about it, that he's losing his marbles. And then he goes and wins the Super Bowl.
Adios mio. Don't remind me about it. But you know what? I think it's Super Bowl hype that's making him go up there. And we're going to talk about a couple other players in a minute. But the next guy, if I would say that there is one quarterback that has been the most hyped going into during this offseason, it's been Jalen Hurts. Once they traded Carson Wentz, it was adios mio. You know, it's Jalen Hurts is going to be the second coming of Lamar Jackson. And and obviously he was huge. His last three full games, obviously he didn't, we're not counting week 17, con permiso, 847 passing yards and 238 rushing yards. I mean, that's significant. That is pretty significant.
Yeah, that's baller status right there.
But are we really going to anoint him after three games?
Well, you don't want to be the guy that misses. You know what I mean? I don't know if you want to be the guy that misses, you know, because if kind of like Josh Allen, like, dang, I could have had Josh Allen. Like, why didn't I take him? I think Jalen Hurts, maybe this year's Josh Allen. It's like, man, this guy has everything. We have some data that actually shows that the kind of numbers that he's capable of putting up. Are we going to skip him? You know, like we did with Josh Allen, you know, and because I think Jalen Hurts, to me, round eight, I'd be comfortable taking him there, or maybe even sooner. I'm a big fan of Jalen Hurts, man. I think he's going to do well. And I think part of it, too, is just the idea that, you know, you're getting comparisons to Kyler Murray. You're getting comparisons to Lamar Jackson. And it's like Lamar Jackson won the MVP, you know? So it's like, is it so far-fetched to think that Jalen Hurts couldn't do something at least similar to what Lamar Jackson has done? Because we've seen him, you know, flashes of greatness from Jalen Hurts. Like, dang, man, like, can this guy put together a whole season like this and really make it happen? So I wouldn't want to wait or if I have an opportunity to fill in my lap around this round, I don't know if I'd pass on.
Yeah, I mean, there's certain cities where if you start playing well, I mean, the fans really kind of carry it. Chicago, Philly is that way. I mean, they live and breathe this stuff. And they, you know, the players know this. I mean, if any time, like, you know, the present, because the players appreciate fans now because they've been sitting there playing games with no fans. And it's like, you know what? That sucked. And I appreciate the fans. And they're going to get pumped up by that stuff. I mean, so I think.
And you know what? And Philly is one of those towns. If you're great, they love you. If they're not great, you're going to know it because that is one city that turns on you if you're not great. So he's got all the pressure on him. He's been a stud in two high profile teams, both with Alabama and Oklahoma. Yeah. So he was a Heisman Trophy candidate with Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. So I look at him and I just worry about I have picked him a couple times in some best ball drafts and some mock drafts to see where he is because again he has that rushing upside that puts him up there with Lamar Jackson and Kyler Murray. There were a couple of times he looked like those guys. I just want I'd like a little bit better completion rate. 52% last year. Josh Allen jumped up last year, so I'm almost ahead. The thing that I look at, there are guys that are going after him. Stafford, Burrow, Tannehill are going after him. And players that are going in that eighth round are Will Fuller, Jerry Jeudy, Hunter Henry. For those people who miss out on the top three tight ends, so that to me is another possibility. That to me is kind of like thinking, you know, wait on him and then grab one of the other quarterbacks later. But again, this is a guy, if he comes through on the hype, he's going to reward people. And he may be.
That's what I'm saying. If you take a risk reward, baby, risk reward. There's that one point of your draft that you're like, damn, should I Should I just do it? Should I do it? You know, if I fall flat on my face, I'm screwed. But if this pans out, I could win a championship. So, this could be that guy.
Yeah.
It's nice to have two good quarterbacks because of the schedule. I mean, I think now, I didn't really play the defenses that much before, but now I did this year, and it really helped out. You know, I sat there and said, who's going to play? You don't have the great quarterback, but you have two good quarterbacks that you can switch back and forth.
Right, right.
I saw more last year than I've ever seen it before, and it worked out for a lot of people.
You won because of Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs and David.
Beautiful mind, man.
Don't get it twisted.
Beautiful mind. I know. Okay. All right, Russell Crowe. Pinche Russell Crowe.
And so my coffee, it's always helpful.
So the next guy that we got on the list, CeeDee Lamb. And Dallas fans, don't hate on me. Don't hate. Because he's going in the fourth round.
Wow.
And people, I know people love him. He's going right after Amari Cooper.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going two picks after Amari Cooper. And Amari Cooper had almost 200 yards more receiving last year and almost 20 more receptions.
There's a pretty big gap there, and for them to be right next to each other, right?
Does CeeDee Lamb make up the difference? That's the thing. Does he end up closing the gap because he's the second year? You know, grows into his body a little bit more, grows more comfortable. But I mean, are we taking him in the fourth round really ahead of some guys like Robert Woods, Chris Godwin, Adam Thielen, Cooper Kupp, Mark Andrews?
Yeah. Just those three right there, Chris Godwin, Adam Thielen, Cooper Kupp. I would take all three of those guys before I would take CeeDee Lamb. Because Dak is back. Didn't Dak have some rapport with Amari Cooper? Didn't they connect, a couple times before Dak? Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying is I think Dak and Amari have a little more chemistry there. And, to assume that CeeDee Lamb could just kind of pop in there and get that kind of production. I haven't bought into that idea yet, but Godwin is, we know what he's going to do. You know what Thielen's going to do. You know what Kupp's going to do. Especially on the Rams, new offense, the new quarterback. I think Kupp is going to have a phenomenal year. So in that regard, CeeDee Lamb is he should be, I think, a little bit lower.
The one thing he did have. Good rapport with Dak Prescott in the first five games while Prescott was healthy. And, he had 433 receiving yards and two touchdowns. Two times he went over 100 yards. And I averaged it out over 17 games. If he did, averaging out the 433 yards over 17 games, that's 1,472 yards. That'd be huge. But I don't know is he going to hit that? There's a lot of mouths to feed on this team. You got Amari Cooper.
Zeke's the passing game too, right? Isn't Zeke part of the passing game too?
Zeke is part of the passing game. Nico, you hate the Cowboys as much as anybody, but
as much as Ricky.
No one hates the Cowboys as much as Ricky. I don't know who, no one in the family at least. But is he gonna be I don't know if I like him enough to take him ahead of those guys. I'm almost willing to be wrong on him.
Yeah, I think Lamb was going to be led out to slaughter. So he's
not. No. Makes him birria.
Exactly. Let's get some birria. You got me hungry. I do like the bounce back possibilities for Dak Prescott this year. And I think he'll be big, and I think Lamb will have a good year. I just don't think he's going to have 1,400 yards, and I think he's going to be – I think he's still going to be the number two guy in this offense. He'll still have 1,000 to 1,100 yards, I think, and because I think Michael Gallup will still be an issue in this one. And obviously Blake Jarwin's coming back, and he's going to be – so, again, it's that mouths to feed, all those mouths to feed. I hoping for good health for Dak Prescott, number one, and that'll get through it. So our last guy is actually two. Ronald Jones. And this is going to be interesting. These guys are so close in ADP right now. Ronald Jones is going at the number 68 overall pick, 608. And you've got Leonard Fournette, number 72, as the 6.12. And this is a team that had 617 pass attempts with El Señor Tom Brady. Tomas Brady. And 369 rushing attempts as a team. I'm just wondering if getting these guys in the sixth round, and both of them are going in the sixth round. It's always interesting that guys are, you know, guys from same team are going the same round. Do you look at, I don't know if I'm trusting either of these guys. I mean, Fournette.
So what does that mean though? So I guess that begs the question, what does it really mean when two guys are going, you know, this close together at ADP? And do you think part of it is that there's just like a, you know, there's just this big, this great unknown that it's going to be either or? So people are taking them here because it's got to be one of them. One of them is going to be the guy and one of them is going to kind of maybe fall off, you know? So I don't know. It's going to be running back by committee, and it's a throw first offense, right? You mean, look at the weapons that you have. Is Gronk coming back? Is he back?
Yeah.
See, so, you know, Tom Brady's best buddy, Gronk, is going to be catching passes, and you got Godwin and you got Mike Evans, and then you have the running game kind of secondary. And Tom Brady's is there to throw. You know, he's there. He can. You saw what he did in the Super Bowl. He just sat back there and, you know, checked his watch, and you know he's, you know, checked the wind, you know, back there, and he was completely protected by his line. All day. So that's. You know, pass first, pass heavy, get the scores. At the end of the game, run the clock out, you know. So, I mean, that's kind of what I see as the philosophy for those games that are going to be blowouts. Tom Brady's just going to be chucking the ball all over the place. He's still good at it. He can still do it. The Super Bowl clearly showed – last season clearly showed the guy can still sling it. And with an offensive line like he has, he's just going to keep doing it. I'm sure he wants to get all the, you know, the accolades and just be known. He's already the GOAT, but – if you're Tom Brady, like, why not just pad your numbers so that you're like Joe DiMaggio, you know, hitting streak numbers? It's like unattainable. Like, you just can never catch him. So he might be, you know, looking to do that.
You got to remember, though, I mean, Tampa Bay, when they first started last season, they were under 500. They weren't doing well. And not until the running back started to kind of get, you know, a couple hundred yards, did they start to win, you know. And then all of a sudden they had a full game. And that's why Tom had time to throw because, you know, he would dump off a little bit here and there. But, yeah, Tampa Bay sucked at first, but you know, I like Fournette. You know, I look back, you know, back when he was in college, he's like,
he's a beast. He's a big boy. Yeah.
They got to remember what they were like before because it's a wake up call. You know, all of a sudden I'm trying to cut the line into Vegas to get into the big clubs. There's some big guys there. I was like, I've never been big guys before. I can't get into the club. Sure, I'm old and, you know, overweight, but that's still, I used to be able to get in. But anyway, I think he ran into a bunch of bouncers when it came to pros. They weren't able to run. So I think every running back goes through that. And so, but then they figured
So I'm looking at the players that are going in that range. You know, you're looking at the running backs, Travis Etienne and Damian Harris. Damian Harris, I like him a lot as a sleeper. Receivers, T. Higgins, DJ Chark, and one guy I love this season in this range, Chase Claypool.
Oh, yeah.
That to me, the thing is, I want one of those guys. I'm taking Chase Claypool all day over either of these guys.
All day. Just,
I don't know. Damelo, and I'll take my championship. Aaron Rodgers is going in this point. You know, obviously we'll know by the time we're drafting what he's doing, but I think he's going. That to me, I think this is kind of like the Super Bowl winner premium. I think people saw these guys late, and people, you know, kind of like a little more casual drafters are, you know, the recency bias that we hear so much about with recency bias. Yeah. I think that's at play here. So
for sure.
That's why I'm passing on these guys.
Me too. Like I said, in my opinion, pass first, run later. I think that's going to be the Bucks philosophy.
I'll let Nico take them.
Take both of them.
Well, I was going to take them, but I've seen the show now, so now I know. You know, beautiful.
Now that you saw the show, you know what you're going to do, and you shouldn't do that.
Now you know. Now you know.
Then you know what you're going to do.
Exactly. And everybody, we also know eso es todo for our show.
For our show.
Thanks again to Anchor for being our hosting network and making sure our independent podcast gets out into the Familia community. Please make sure to subscribe. Please make sure you subscribe on our YouTube channel. We're also on Periscope TV today, so hopefully you give us some love there. Please make sure you subscribe, leave us a review, and get your podcast. Subscribe to us wherever you get your podcast. Please make sure to find original content at FamiliaFFB.com. And remember to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at FamiliaFFB. Hector, where are they finding you, Primo?
At what the heck, 2 T's.
Nico, I still want to see your Nico Las Vegas Twitter handle come out from somewhere. You can find Jorge Martin 17. And don't forget our Familia FFB Facebook page. Gracias, Primos, otra vez. You know what? It's again, great reminder. There's nothing like Familia. There is exactly. Nothing like Familia. Looking forward to a lot more times getting together this summer. And because remember, everybody, todos somos familia.
Adios, amigos. Salud.
Salud.